For years, I have been baffled about the origin and deep cause of the UFO phenomenon. But I have already arrived to some conclusions which, for me, are the radical explanation not only of the UFO phenomenon, but of many other mysterious phenomena that have always intrigued mankind. But before, let us see the three main sides or aspects through which we can approach the UFO phenomenon. First, the extraterrestrial aspect. Individuals with a physical body, with a very, very varied aspects, who come in physical vehicles and who say to proceed from other planets. This is the extraterrestrial hypothesis, whose last manifestation is the discussion or polemic you have now in your country about the Greys, if they have subterranean bases, if some of their vehicles have crashed, if the government has them, if the government has a contact with them, etc. The second approach to the UFO phenomenon is the one which relates it with the gods of antiquity and with the apparitions of a religious type. Apparitions of religious type, we have now thousands of them. In Spain, we have at least now going on about 20. Better or worse, but we have many. All over the world. And if you go from our occidental world to the oriental world and go to India, you have always their apparitions of their deities. This is another approach to the UFO phenomenon. On one side, these old apparitions and their chosen people have great similarities among them. And on the other side, we have the similarities that exist among the manifestations of the gods of antiquity and their chosen with the aliens of today and their contactees. They are parallel phenomena. To put one example, let us concentrate in the parallels between the deeds of Yahweh with the Hebrew people and those of the Yahweh of the Aztecs, whose name was Huitzilopochtli. Listen to some of these parallels. Yahweh used to manifest himself under the form of a cloud, very visible to all the people. Huitzilopochtli used as a means of manifestation the form of a big white bird. And because of this, the Aztecs were called the people of the eagle or the people of the heron. We read in the Pentateuch, when the cloud moved, the people moved with the cloud. The Aztecs followed in the same way the big white bird. Both peoples were driven by their respective gods from their original place to a very distant region through thousands of difficulties. The pilgrimage of the Jews lasted 40 years, as you know by the Bible. The one of the Aztecs was of 125 years, probably from the states of Utah, south of Utah, or Colorado, to the valley of Anahuac, where now is the city of Mexico. The original name of the leader of the Jews was, the original name was Moshe. The name of the leader of the Aztec was Moshi. Both had an influential sister, and the name of the sisters was also very similar also. Both gods taught to their peoples the strange and cruel rite of circumcision. This is a very strange thing. Nobody knows that that practice also the circumcision. Both peoples had an ark or little box which they carried always with them and considered very sacred. A Spanish friar who wrote the history of the Aztecs describes so this fact. They had a little box which they carried always with them and through which they used to communicate with their God. As soon as they arrived to a place, the first thing they did was to build a hut to put in the ark. The friar says this. We all know the respect and veneration that Hebrews had towards their ark and how it was used by Yahweh to communicate with Moses. Both peoples found in their way many other belligerent peoples, and both dominated them all with the direct help of their gods, until they finally established in the promised land. Both gods demanded from their peoples religious sacrifices, in which there was a great abundance of blood. This is very important. Was a very abundance of blood in Hebrews and in the Attics. We'll see this later. Finally, once settled and having dominated all neighbors, one day both gods disappeared, leaving their peoples to the mercy of Romans and Spaniards who enslaved them. Apart of all these similarities which exist among the manifestations of all the different gods, which takes us to think that the intelligence that is behind is the same or very alike, we have the similarities that there are between the gods of antiquity and the aliens of today, and between the contactees of those times and those of today, whom we all know very well, and in this Congress we have some of them among us. The contactees of old times were called prophets, and they were wonder workers. The modern contactees also make predictions, which are not very accurate, as it happened with those of the old prophets. And frequently, after the contact, they acquire powers. One of those powers is frequently the power of healing, which was also very common among the prophets of all times. The third approach of the UFO phenomenon is through all kinds of paranormal apparitions and manifestations. Balls of light, strange happenings, or weird individuals who many times, at first sight, have nothing to do with UFOs, nor with the religious phenomenon. At first sight, but later we'll see that they have very much to see. In this chapter, we could include anything relative to channeling and communications made through telepathy, automatic writing, Ouija board, etc., supposedly provenient from superior beings. Today, there are thousands of persons all over the world who are receiving communications from superior entities or brothers of the space. But there are thousands and thousands. Many times you don't know, and your neighbor is receiving things, but he doesn't say anything, and is the best thing that he does. Most of the persons receiving such communications do not relate what happened to them with UFO phenomenon, but the contents of the messages received, and also their own lives, are a carbon copy of the messages received by the UFO contactees and what happens to them in their lives. The messages of both usually are eschatological, related to the end of the times, ecological, we are destroying the planet, anti-nuclear, about the origin and movements of the planets and the stars, etc. The reality is that most of the communications finally are wrong. Every contactee has a different explanation about how the solar system started. I once had received from many contactees different ways of how the solar system started, and all were different. These are the three main aspects through which we can approach the UFO phenomenon. The essence of what I have to say, and that is the final deduction of all my experiences and investigations after many years thinking about it, is that all these three approaches are, in the bottom, the same thing. The appearances and manifestations are quite different, but the root is the same. I think that Charles Fort was absolutely right. We are property. We are only pawns in a giant game of chess. This world is a farm, and we are only intelligent rabbits, but we are not the owners of the farm. This is very hard, but we are not lost. The day I realized this was a terrible shock for me, but one day I was convinced that this was the reality. The conclusions to which I have arrived, thanks to the UFO phenomenon, not thanks to the theology. Within the Jesuits, I studied 16 years, philosophy and theology and all kinds of ecclesiastical things. Not due to theology, due to UFO phenomenon. It put me to think much more than anything else. Because the first day I read in the papers many years ago that some ovni, some UFO was seen and with people inside, then it was a revolution for me that they have a mind to think. And I started to think, these people is redeemed by Christ. Is the redemption of Christ good for them? This, because I believe in that. These people believe in my God. These people is going to heaven or to hell. Then I started to think, and that was kind of earthquake for me. All the people see a UFO and don't think anything. Okay, God bless him, but I started to think. The conclusions to which I have arrived, thanks to the UFO phenomenon, are the following. We are surrounded by an enormous amount and diversity of living entities who, because they vibrate in different frequency, or because the reason I don't know, are most of the time invisible to us, although many of them are capable of becoming visible when they want. Today we know this. The grays become visible when they want. Most of the time they are invisible. In antiquity, some of them used to manifest themselves as gods. And all along the centuries, they have continued to appear in 1,000 different ways. In our days, they appear to us as astronauts, space visitors, superior entities, ascended masters, astral guides, jinns, and even as spirits of the dead. Some of them can come from outside the earth, but others are from here. This is their planet. And they are here before us. As a matter of fact, we, the different races, are a product of them along the millennia. They made us, the different races, the same way we made a big dog. To fight against a wolf, a dog very narrow, to run very fast, a greyhound. A little dog to be over in the house, not molesting too much. Who made that? The God of the dog. Who is the dog? God of the dog. We are the dog, the gods of the dog, because we are in an echelon, scale higher than them, in the cosmic scale. Many of these beings are intelligent, although their intelligence is not always superior to us. Those among them who are more intelligent than we are dominate us without us noticing and use human race the same way we use plants of animals. We don't hate animals, and in certain way we protect and love them, but always we use them. This is the key word. We use them. They use us. These superior intelligences neither hate us nor love us. Simply, they use us whenever it is convenient for them. When it fits them, they protect and help us. And when it is good for them, for their interests, they hinder or even destroy us. The hunter who goes to the mountain to chase, although he goes with a gun in his hands, he doesn't hate the rabbits or game. He simply wants to amuse himself. And he can kill a rabbit, and at the same time, he can take home a little rabbit as a gift for his child. surrounding the animal of all kinds of attentions. Because that little rabbit, he killed the mother of the rabbit, and now the poor rabbit took the house and loves the rabbit, and everybody loves the rabbit, but he killed the mother of the rabbit. Because he is a man, and everything he does is in human level, not in the rabbit level. Being these intelligences so different among them, it is quite natural that the interest they have in humans varies greatly, and not all use us in the same manner. The superior intelligence are scarcely, the superior of them, are scarcely interested in us, while those less evolved are much more interested, although they do in many different ways. So, if we have contact with them, usually will be with those less developed, because they are the ones who have interest in us. Some simply observe and study us from a distance. Others try to do with us all kinds of experiences, psychical, sociological, biological, genetical, biochemical, etc. These different interests are the reasons why the behavior of the entities is so different and so contradictory at times. Finally, and this is very important, many of them try to obtain the energy that comes out of our brains when our brains are excited or anguished. They have to be excited or anguished. If you are in peace, you don't produce something, some energy that they want. Because the human brain is the most wonderful machine of this planet and produces a subtle energy, psychic but physical, because everything psychic is physical, which cannot be found anywhere else, and that is extremely coveted by them. They use it in different ways, and it seems that creates in them a gentle shock in their feelings or emotions that pleases them very much. The brain, to be able to produce such energy, has to be excited, as I told you, anxious or full of fear. And that's why they have used always five strategies to produce such a state in the human soul. And this is the human history. These strategies are the following. First, the different races, which were created by different Elohim, different gods. Gods always with minuscula. Second, the different languages. The Bible is very clarifying about this. If you remember the Bible, Yahweh was there and saw all people speaking the same language and building a tower and said, look at that. These people understand each other very well and they are going to come up to me and defy me. No, I'm going to confuse them. And he confused the languages of everybody. This is symbolical, but we read in the Bible and it's very interesting. Third, the different nations with its corresponding patriotism, so irrational and blinding. Patriotism is irrational and blinding. It is about time that we finish this stupid thing and we are divided all over. And finally, the different religions through which they have kept mankind quarreling. One terrible reality is that religions have been the principal, the most up to now, the most important cause of wars, and it's all start teaching love. All these four values, some of them considered sacred, have been the great strategies to generate something that these intelligences appreciate very much. Is the fifth strategy, wars. It seems that many of these entities like very much to see men quarreling among themselves. Unfortunately, these strategies have given very good results because the major part of human history is made of wars.